Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is your host, Prophetess Valerie Burrell. Grateful to be with you tonight with my husband beside me. And we are so excited for our guest on tonight, Minister Tim Moran. Tim, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Amen. Amen. Listeners, we're going to get to what it is he has to share. We would just want to remind you all who are in the Richmond, West Point, King and Queen, Matthews, Middlesex, Gloucester, in that region, on tomorrow morning, starting at 10 o'clock a.m., my husband and I will be doing It's All About the Relationship. This will be our second session. It will be held at New Creation Ministries, where the senior pastor is Prophetess Cheryl Forrest. It will begin at 10 o'clock a.m. There will be a breakout session for singles as well. This is a free event. Do you hear me? A free event. So if your time allows, there's nothing that can keep you from coming to this. We are certain that this is going to be a powerful and impactful time for those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit is speaking. So that's tomorrow, again, at 10 o'clock a.m., New Creation Ministries in Cobbs Creek, Virginia, where the leadership is Senior Pastor Prophetess Cheryl Forrest. If you need additional information, find me on Facebook, Valerie Burrell, and a flyer is there. Amen. So now, Minister Tim Moran, our guest on tonight. You all, I listened to this young man. He did a video on Facebook, and he talked about his experience. And what captured me most about that was how we have to take a hold of our thought. And when I heard him say that, that just unleashed so much kingdom in me that I was like, I've got to reach out. And we were so grateful and thankful that he gave us a yes. So, Tim, at this time, Minister Tim, I'm casual, so forgive me. But if
all
you
right,
would
no,
just introduce yourself and then just go ahead and flow as the Holy Spirit leads, and then we'll just dialogue as it flows. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I can do that.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, like I said, I appreciate the opportunity to be on tonight. And like I said, it's definitely a unique opportunity. And like we were talking before we got on here, you know, the tools and the social media that we have today was non-existent, you know, 12, 13 years ago. And I think we have a unique opportunity to be able to reach a lot of people and, you know, with avenues and stuff like this. But I definitely appreciate the opportunity to be on tonight.
Amen. 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 So, in your bio, you shared with me that you're a former career criminal and drug addict turned entrepreneur, motivational speaker,
yep,
and minister.
That's yes.
Powerful. That's powerful. That's powerful.
Yes,
You even tell us about that. Tell us about that transition. Tell us about how you really had to capture thoughts and able to transition from one place and one paradigm of understanding into the place where you are now with the expectation of the greater place that you're going to. Talk to us about how that happened.
Well, I'm saying as far as my thought life goes, I'm saying that really started back in 2004. One day I was at home. Like I said, I grew up in church my whole life. My grandmother took me to church, and but I've never really had a relationship with the Lord. So I was recently married in 2004 to my wife, and we had two kids together. And one day while I was skipping work and I was sitting at home and I was high, and I was just flipping through the channels, and God led me to an infomercial, and that infomercial was with the minister Creflo Dollar. And Creflo Dollar talking about walking in the spirit versus walking in the flesh. And it started talking about how, you know, if you renew your mind, you'll change your life. And something about that infomercial just, it grabbed me. And I ended up, you know, I've never done this before. I've never bought teaching CDs or anything like that. So Didn't have a credit card, so I asked my mother-in-law at the time to purchase it for me. And 3 months later, I went to jail. Never got a chance to actually listen to it. And while I was serving a sentence for 6 months, I got under some very anointed ministers inside the jail system, and all I could think about is that CD. So when I got out, the first thing I did was get home and put that CD in. It's a four-disc set, and like I said, I still have it today. And I just honestly, every time that I was at home, if I went to work, if I was on the road, I had that CD playing. So, and all I just kept hearing was the word, and basically how that, you know, Romans 12, 2, that, you know, be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind. And it just stuck out to me so much. And probably about 6 to 7 months after I got out of jail, I ended up falling off again. And I always knew what I learned from that teaching. I carried it with me over the years. But I was still doing the same old dirt. I was still doing drugs. I was still stealing. I was doing all those things. And I ended up getting married again in 2011. And at the end of not even 10 months into the marriage, my wife ended up walking out. And it was a few months after that that the Lord was really impressing on me that I needed basically to come home. And it was through that situation there that I was led back to the Lord. And it was really a tough transition, but he made it easy in certain aspects of it. But as far as the drug goes, I'm saying he completely removed it out of me. And the main thing that, you know, that he stressed to me was to renew my mind. So I just started immersing myself in the Word. Every time I come home, I was in the Word. Anytime a church door opened, I was in it. And it was through that situation that I was able to come out of the place that I've been for so long in my life.
Wow.
There's so much, you know, there's so much more to the story. I'm saying I could go on and on forever and talk about those things. But I've really, like I said, you know, at 11 months old, my mom left. You know, my dad pretty much raised me. My dad was a workaholic, raising me and my sister. And my sister, and between my grandmother and my sister, you know, it was just me to fend for myself most of the time. So, you know, I just started getting in trouble at an early age, and from there it just grew into other things. And it wasn't until my mid-20s that I really found drugs. Before that, it was just me being, you know, just me being stupid. Then I got into the drugs and the alcohol. But, you know, the Lord, you know, my dad, one thing my dad's always told me my whole life is that, you know, I can do anything as long as I put the Lord first. And that was just ingrained in my mind from a child. But it wasn't until I reached my early 30s that I really began to apply the Word and really seek out, you know, what opportunities and what the Lord wanted me to do with my life. And, you know, from there, you know, I love the verse where it talks about God to the world to shame the wise. And he basically takes nobodies and he turns them into champions because, you know, I was really a nobody. I didn't have anything, didn't have my own cars, didn't have my own money. I always had to borrow stuff. I was always living off somebody. I was very selfish, victim-minded. And, you know, God's really just changed my life. And now I own my own business. I own my own vehicles. I bought my first house 2 years ago. And all that in a matter of 7 to 11 years.
Praise God. So, praise God.
Yeah.
I like what you shared. You know, after your first 6 months, you came out, and the first thing that you went after, you were hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and you went to that word that captured your attention. And I love how you shared that it, you constantly kept it with you. And the word tells us that we hide the word. He said, hide the word in your heart that you might not sin against me. So even when you face tribulation after it, we have to understand that the afflictions that we face in life are really pressure to push us back to that place where we're being used by him and walking according to what he placed us in the earth to do. So I get it. I didn't spend time incarcerated. My issue was not drugs and alcohol, but I also had some vices in my life that took me down a very treacherous road. And in today, you know, life is so different. I tell people all the time, I'm grateful to God that I don't look like what I've been through. And you could probably share that same phrase, because based on where you've been in life and what you've experienced and how you got to this point, where you are now in no way, shape, or form resembles what you had to go through to get here.
No, it's a total 180 from where I used to be. Definitely a 180. In a million years did I see myself where I'm at today. And, if it wasn't for the Lord directing me, moving me basically into position, because there's a lot of times I was real stubborn and I knew that he wanted me to change things that I was doing and I wouldn't do it, and he would force me. And if it wasn't for those situations, I really wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't be free from drug addiction. I wouldn't be free from being a criminal, because that's what I was. And I've really come a lot real far, and I'm very thankful for it. I still to this day get emotional over it, because to me it's still fresh.
Yeah, that's amazing. But you talked about the reframing of your mind.
Yes.
Share a little bit with our audience some of what you shared on that video that really captured my attention. That if you want a change in your life, there's some things that you have to do, along with reframing your thoughts. But share some of that, because that was good.
Really, I'm saying when it came to renewing my mind, I knew that there's some things that I've learned. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. We've all heard that. And one of the biggest decisions that I made in my transition was, making a decision to do it, because that's the first step in doing anything. You have to make a decision. You have to decide within yourself that you're done with where you're at, and whatever it is with a goal, or you might have a goal in your life that you want to do, but you have to make a decision to do it. And that no matter what you face, whatever adversity, that you're going to do it. And from there, once I made a decision to do it, I realized that I had to basically reevaluate who I was hanging around and my environment. And mm-hmm. I knew that the people that I was hanging around were very similar to, where I was at in my life. Then I read this quote that said the top five people in your life, if you look at where they're at and where they're going in their life, if you look at them, and you look back at yourself, it's almost a reflection. And when I heard that, and I started reading in correspondence with the Word alongside that, God started showing me things about myself. He started showing me things that I needed to do. And so I just began immersing myself in the Word, for a long time, because the devil talks to you. And if you don't talk to yourself, the devil's going to talk to you. It was just one night on my bed, and the Lord just started talking to me how he made me righteous. And from there, I just realized that it's nothing that I can do to make myself righteous, but all that comes from the Lord. So when I would get thoughts that would tell me that I would have never amounted to anything, that I'd never be free from drugs, I had to combat that with the Word. I had to come back, and I had to tell myself that I am the righteousness of God. I had to tell myself for years that God loved me, because I thought for years that God was mad at me, that God wanted to throw a stake in me, basically, because that's what I was taught in church growing up.
Wow.
So it's really immersing myself in the Word, and just any time that I would get a thought that would tell me basically that you're never going to get free from that addiction, I would just turn around and basically say out loud, I am free from that addiction. Because if there's one thing that I was taught in changing my thought life is that it's very important that whatever negative that's in your life, you have to reinforce it with positive. And that's the only way you're going to present change in your life, is that you have to find that positive. And I found that positive in the Lord, and I found that positive in the Word. And if it wasn't for me just basically totally immersing myself in that, I'm saying I definitely would not be here today. But you have to make a decision, and that's really the first thing you have to do. And from there, you just have to follow through with the decision.
Amen. Amen. I so agree with that. There is a starting place. There is that place of acceptance and that place of making the decision. You hear a lot of people say when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, then you start making a move towards the change that you want to see. And I agree that first place is acceptance of what the situation is and then determining, I want change. And we're grateful tonight. We do have several callers on the line. If there's a question or a comment that you'd like to make, we ask that you please press 1 and we'll gladly bring you on the call. Amen. My dean is on the line. Apostle Johnson, I'm grateful that you're joining us. Apostle, so I get that. Now, as you were transitioning, Tim, how was it? How was your family? How was it for your friends? Because, you know, sometimes I find that when we are coming into who it is that God has called us to be, there's also often some resilience with the ones that we have been close to, and they begin to look at us differently. Did you experience any of that at all?
Now, when it came to my family, I can honestly say, was very supportive. They've always known, because even in my foolishness, even in the midst of me doing what I was doing, I always talked about the Lord. I always knew that the Lord had something for me. But my family were very supportive. And now when it came to my friends, it was a totally different story. But even my friends knew that I always talked about the Lord, and I was always the daddy of the bunch. I always try to keep people in check and stuff like that and make sense of things, even though I was getting in trouble. But I caught a lot of resistance from a lot of my friends. And, you know, they automatically assume, as soon as you start, you know, going to church and start changing life, they automatically assume you think you're better than me now. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing to do with me thinking that I was better. It was all about I needed to get my life together. And if you wanted to follow me and you wanted to go where I was going, I'm more than welcome for you to follow me. But I learned that, you know, I've lost a lot of friends. You know, I used to be able to call people. My phone used to ring off the hook. And I used to be able to go to any place that I wanted and go drink beer and do all those things. But as soon as I changed my life around and started serving the Lord and started going that way, it becomes a very going to be honest, a very lonely life at first, and it's something you've got to really adjust to, because it was through that time where I didn't have all those people that I had to totally depend on the Lord, whether it was finances or for anything. The Lord just really put me in the position to where, you know what, you're going to have to depend on me totally, and that's what happened. And like I said, it was definitely a time that I really had to learn about myself and just truly trust that no matter what was going on in my life, that the Lord had a plan and a purpose for it.
Amen. Amen. Been there. I didn't get the T-shirt, but I understand. I understand. Yeah. There are often times that we have to separate, or God will allow us, or even enforce it, as you stated, a time of separation so that we're purging those things that would hinder us, and we are really becoming reliable to Him as He is reliable to us. And when you get it, when you finally get it, it's like, man, I was a knucklehead. Why'd I waste all this time? But it, you know, the process for each of us is so very different. But I'm grateful to God that we all have the same opportunity for the outcome that when we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then he says in his word in Matthew 6:33, all these things shall be added unto you. So we don't have to miss anything. We don't have to lack anything. Because of who he is, if we would just take time to surrender our will and just allow him to lead us and just obey. So many that I'm sure. Yeah, it is. It's the challenge. And I'm excited for you that you have the support of your family, because that means the world, that they really understand and know you for who God called you to be in spite of the things that you did and the things that you encountered in life. They still knew, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm sure that a lot of people wish they had that same testimony, but unfortunately we don't.
No, we don't.
Not
at all. I'm sorry. Yeah. I have many friends actually who went through that process and have nobody. So I've just learned in my situation that, you know, I love seeing people succeed. I love seeing people, you know, come out of what they've been in and just allow them to allow God to work in their life. And, if you gave God a year of your life and just really set in your mind just to follow him, just in a year, God can miraculously just change your life around totally. Because he really did it for me.
It is amazing how when we finally align ourselves with his plan and align ourselves with his original intent for us in the earth, it does. It makes a world of difference. And like you said, things that we never would imagine will begin to fall in place, and people will begin to call your name, and you'd be like, you're talking to me? You want me to do what? It's amazing. It's so amazing. But like you said, it's all in taking a hold of your thought and rebooting your thought process to think according to what God, take on the mind of Christ and stop being carnal in our thinking. And then our understanding will be opened for us to be able to flow in the things of God. And so I'm excited for you. My husband and I, we are so excited for you. You know, I just took a look at your Facebook page and the different things that you're doing, because you are in business. So tell us a little bit about what you do for business, because, you know, you never know who's listening. Amen.
Well, like I said, I own a remodeling business. I've been in business for close to 7 years. But like I said, everything in my life, I'm saying God's got his hand all over it. And because even if you were to look at the name of the company, Spring Forth Construction, if you know the Bible fairly well, you'll know Spring Forth came from a verse in the Bible, Isaiah 43:18-19. It says God will do a new thing.
A new thing. Spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'll make rivers to flow. Yes, in desert places. I do know that. Amen.
Everything on my truck, from the license plate to the decals on the side of the truck to the name to the rear where I have the actual scripture posted. You know, the Lord actually gave me that right after my divorce. And, you know, because one night I was feeling real bad about myself. I was at the bottom, and the Lord just basically showed me that verse and told me he was going to do a new thing in my life, and that's all I heard. And when I saw that word spring forth, it just stuck out to me. So I basically just ended up just starting a business. I dreamed about a business for a year. I started the business. Within 30 days after starting that business, my first job out the gate was a total remodel of a historic home out in Charles City. And from there, everything that I've tried to do outside of the business, if I even tried to go get a job, it would not work. But every time that I would put my hand to Spring Forth Construction, it would flow. And here we are almost 7 years later. You know, God's still growing me. I'm still learning. And, you know, he's provided for me. And, you know, like I said, everything I have, you know, the Lord's got his hand all over it. And like I said, it's basically a remodeling business. We originally started out as a handyman service, doing the small things, because, you know, a lot of companies have gotten away from that. And we have slowly grown into doing kitchen remodels, bathroom remodels. And I just try to do my work unto the Lord. And that's really what I try to do with it. And it's been a blessing. I don't advertise at all, really, that much. The Lord just leads people to me.
Amen. So the work that you do with helping those that are incarcerated and those who are overcoming addictions, how do you do that work? Where do you do that work? And if somebody needed you, how would that happen?
Honestly, I'm saying the best way to find me is through Facebook. I actually have a Facebook page called Project Rebirth Ministries or Project Rebirth Outreach. You can actually find it on Facebook. You can contact me through there. You can actually reach out to me on my private page if you like. It's pretty much public. Like I said, you know, I pretty much, you know, a lot of my stuff that I do, a lot of it's invite. So I'll go and I'll speak to people. Sometimes I've actually done drug addiction classes and things like that at local churches in the area, and I'm hoping to do another one this year. A lot of this is a really invite, and I just try to do what the Lord leads me to do, and just kind of really just hope that whoever I come in contact with, that, you know, the message that I have, you know, it will change their life.
Amen. Well, Minister Tim, we greatly appreciate your time and all that you've shared. And if it's there at any time, we at the Empowerment Place can aid you in your endeavors to bring change in the lives of those that need it. Please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We would gladly collaborate with you to do the great work that God has placed us in the earth to do. Listeners, find him, find his page, find his ministry page, support what this man of God is doing. It's a great work and is needed. It is so needed in this day and time that we live. Well, we're down to a couple minutes. Minister Timothy, if you would close us out in prayer, I would greatly appreciate it.
All right. Father God, just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given us today. I thank you, Lord God, for everybody that is in a listening ear of this broadcast, and Father, whatever it is that they may be going through in their life. I pray, Lord God, you show them the comfort. Pray that you give them wisdom to the things that they are facing, whether good or bad, and help them and lead them and guide them to the things that you would need them to do in order to be set free from the addictions they may face or the trials they may be in at this moment. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for blessing them, leading and guiding them through all truth. And I just receive that, and I hope they receive that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us. I know that something has been said this evening to empower you. And as always, Empowerment Place, we encourage you every day to do something to empower yourself. But once you've been empowered, take the responsibility to empower yourself. Again, we remind you, join us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock a.m. at New Creation Ministries in Cobbs Creek, Virginia, for another session of It's All About the Relationship. We'll be back on the air Sunday evening at 8 o'clock p.m. with another relevant kingdom message. We hope that you'll join us. Until next time, we say God bless you and be empowered. Good night.